Make sure that's the recording. Okay, so welcome to this evening's Shir. Tonight we're going to be talking about Amalek. Who's Amalek? So Amalek is our arch enemy, they're our nemesis. And we have a mitzvah in the Torah to make sure that we get rid of them and we get rid of them forever. That's a pretty tall task. So let's look in the Torah a little bit when the Torah talks about Amalek, this nation that's considered so counterproductive and so bad that we really need to get rid of them. Let's look and see what the Torah says when the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of getting rid of Amalek. So twice in the Torah, we find Amalek at the forefront. Number one is in Parshas Beshalach, in the book of Shemos. Amalek comes along and they fight with the Jewish people in a place called Rephidim. So Jewish people are attacked. This is not long after all the amazing stuff of Yetzias Mitzrayim, etc., etc. The Jewish people are attacked. So Moshe goes to his disciple Yeshua and he says to him, select very choice individuals and go out and wage war against Amalek. And that's what happens. And there's a whole story where Moshe views the war from a higher area. And as long as he keeps his hands up, the Jewish people are victorious. If his hands begin to droop and they begin to fall, the Jewish people start losing, etc., etc. And eventually, Moshe and Yoshua, I should say, it says, Vayachalosh Yoshua es Amalek vesamo lefi charev. Yoshua weakens Amalek and its nation with a sword. So he weakens them. By the way, this means to say like this. He only killed the tremendously strong warriors, that's who he killed. He did not kill the weak people. And the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, write this for a eternal remembrance in the Torah. Tell it to Yoshua that we need to destroy their memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. Moshe builds a Mizbeach. He calls it Hashem Nisi, God performed miracles for us. And he says that Amalek's hand is on the throne of God until Hashem destroys them. God's name can't be complete. That's more or less what the Pasuk says. I know I'm saying a lot of strange things, but that's not what the Shir is about. So that's number one. The second time that we find the Torah, this concept of the Jewish people being commanded to get rid of Amalek, it says, Zachar as asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did for you when you went out from Egypt. None of the nations dared to start up with you. They were petrified, but Amalek chilled things out a little bit. And you were tired, and you were thirsty, and Amalek had no fear of God. It says in the future, Hashem, one day, when we won't have any more enemies, Hashem will get rid of Amalek, and they'll get rid of Amalek forever and ever. Those are the two times in the Torah that we find this concept of this nation called Amalek, and the obligation that we have to try to destroy them, and the fact that ultimately the Amalek will not be totally annihilated and obliterated until Mashiach comes, until the coming of the Messiah, when there's peace in the world, and we have no more enemies, our enemies will all fade away. And we know that this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Purim always, there's a biblical commandment to listen to the Torah being read. It's called Parshas Zachar. And we read the section, the latter section that we discuss from Sefer Devarim, Parshas Kisetze. Now I want to ask six questions. And then hopefully we'll have one level of understanding and those six questions will get answered amidst Hashem at the right time. So here are the six questions that I want to ask. Question number one. Why is it that it says in the following, this Amalek, this nation, is a milchama lahashem, Amalek. Amalek fights against God. Now, how do you fight against God? That doesn't sound like a smart thing to do, number one. And God could just go like this and destroy you in an instant. So what does it mean that Amalek is waging battle against God, that it's a war against God? And if it's a war against God, why are we involved? Let Hashem just do whatever he has to do. So what exactly does this mean? And if it is a war against God, so why doesn't Hashem just defeat them? God could do anything. He is everything. That's question number one. Number two, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe asked in the Sefer Igrei Derech, if you take a look at Parsha Zachar, the commandment, the mandate to destroy Amalek, to annihilate and obliterate them from underneath the heavens, it's interesting. It's all written in the singular. Zachar es asher asa lecha. Lecha in Hebrew is singular. You, not lachem, plural you. Everything is in the singular. We don't usually find that in the Torah, that a mitzvah, an obligation, a commandment on the entire Jewish nation is addressed to the individual. Needs clarification. That's question number two. Question number three. During the conflict with Amalek, Moshe commands Yeshua that he should go and he should wage war, which is so interesting because just a short while earlier, when the Egyptians attacked the Jewish people, Hashem says, whoa, I'll take care of it. Hashem yilachem lachem. God will fight for you. V'atem tach rishun. You stay silent. I'm going to do what has to happen. Yet when it comes to Amalek, that's not the approach. The approach is we need to wage war against them. We can't let God do the work for us. Why? Especially if it's a conflict against God, he should be the one that should do the work. So what's the difference, the contrast between the splitting of the sea and the battle with Amalek and the annihilation of the Egyptians? Another question, the Nesiv Ishal Neslan Merebi asks, it's interesting that Amalek was not considered one of the strong, powerful, amazing, you know, battle-ready nations. They're considered, as the Torah, as the Chazal teaches us, Amalek is a Uma Shefala, a Memshala Shefala, a low-down rulership, not such a substantial, you know, foe. Yet at the same time, they are so strong that maybe we need God to overcome them. So physically, they're not so strong. They're not such a powerful nation, but something about Amalek is so stressful to us and it's so conflicting with us that we need Hashem to ultimately finish them off. And in every generation, it seems like we're going to be fighting them. Who is this nation? And what's so unique about them that they're not powerful, yet somehow they're incredibly powerful? Next question, question number 5. It says that Yehoshua went and he weakened, like we said, the nation. So he defeated all their strong warriors, and he left the weaker people, the people that were not so strong. Yehoshua, why don't you just destroy them? If you're overpowering, Moshe's hands are raised in the air, as the Pasuk says. As long as that happens, the Jewish people are victorious. So just annihilate Amalek for once and forever, and we'll never have to face this very difficult foe. So why do you leave behind the weak? Question number 5. And question number 6, a very strong question, is after the whole thing is over, Moshe Rabbeinu calls the place Hashem Nisi. God made miracles for me. Now Hashem made a lot of miracles for the Jewish people. He split the sea. He gave them man in the desert. He took care of them. He sustained them. We don't find any place in the world called Hashem Nisi. God is my miracle. The only place called God made miracles is by the conflict, the battle against Amalek. What's the pshat? How does that work? Why is this considered the place of miracles? So all these questions need clarification. So we're going to try to build one small approach, one small edifice, and if we have a good understanding of that, hopefully we'll be able to answer all the questions. So to approach this, the Medrash Tanchuma brings a pasuk in Mishlei, in Proverbs. The pasuk says like this, listen carefully. The pasuk says, "Let's take upesi yarim." What does that mean to say? Beat the let's. A let's is a scoffer, a person that makes something serious into a joke. And says the pasuk, "Upesi yarim." The simple one will become clever. That's what the pasuk says. So the Medrash says, "What does it mean? Let's take that you should beat the scoffer." Says the Medrash, "Ze Amalek." Amalek's title is the scoffer. A person who makes a serious situation into a joke. I'm going to give a practical example of this. This past Shabbos, I was a guest speaker at a Shabbaton in a hotel. That's not here nor there. And on Friday night, I said a really inspiring story, a story that's a real shocker, it kind of cuts you in your tracks and it makes you think. And there were a lot of people at the speech. And you could see that people were really visibly moved, touched by this story. It wasn't my own story. And one guy, when I got up to the punchline, instead of taking it to heart, he goes like this out loud. He goes, "Wow, wow, 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 wow." That didn't bother me. I don't think it changed the impact to the rest of the people there. But what's the shot? Why would you do that? Listen, let it come in. You'll just become better from the story. The answer is that a person who by definition can't find himself equating himself with serious things in life, things that make him think or things that make him change, the way that he reacts to that is by making a joke, even out of things that maybe should be serious. Amalek gets that title. Their title is let's. They're a bunch of scoffers. That's idea number one. Idea number two, Rashi teaches us that the Jewish people are traveling and the Jewish people start complaining. And they're like, "Did God take us out of Egypt? Did he take us out of Egypt to kill us? Is there a God in our midst?" So Hashem says to them, "You're not sure if there's a God? I'm going to show you there's a God." And Rashi explains this with a mashal, with a parable. Rashi says that there was a man that was traveling, and he had his little son on his shoulders. In those days, the travel was done always by walking. The son is on his shoulders, and he has a really good view. He's 7 feet into the air, and he keeps looking down. He says, "Dad, look over there on the right side of the road. Look, 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 look. Some kid dropped his teddy bear. Can you pick that teddy bear up for me?" picks the teddy bear up and he gives it to him. Thank you, Daddy. They're walking another half hour. His father's carrying him on his shoulders. He says, oh, Dad, stop, stop. I see something over there on the other side of the fence. Someone dropped the dollar bill. Could you give me the dollar bill? Dad bends down, gives him the dollar bill. This happens a few times. All of a sudden, a fellow comes by, and the kid turns to the fellow and he says, have you seen my dad anywhere? Have you seen my dad? His father looks at him and says, have you seen my dad? I've been carrying you on my shoulders. I've been providing you with all these different objects, and you don't see me? You know what? Off my shoulders. He puts the kid down on the floor. All of a sudden, a dog comes out and it bites the kid. Says Rashi, that's the story of the Jewish people in Amalek. God does everything for them. He gives the 10 plagues. He takes them out of Egypt. He gives them the mud. So many things. He splits the sea. And then all of a sudden, the Jewish people, they don't have what they need exactly. And all of a sudden, the Jewish people are like, is there a God? Says Hashem, is there a God? All right, I'm going to let go of you for a second. The moment they let go of us, the dog comes and attacks. Says Rashi, who's the dog? Amalek. They're the dog. They come and attack. So Amalek is called a letz, a scoffer, a person who makes a serious situation into a joke. And B, Amalek is called a dog. Interesting title, kind of nice titles for a person to have. You're a scoffing dog. That's Amalek. What does that even mean? So the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mesilas Yesharim teaches us. The Mesilas Yesharim teaches us something very important. The Mesilas Yesharim says that there are two midas, two character traits that are so counterproductive that they take away a person's Yirah Shamayim. They take away a person's fear of God. These character traits are so bad for a person that even if they had some spiritual accomplishments, it robs those spiritual accomplishments. What are those two character traits? The number one, he says, is Leitzanus. Taking a serious situation and making it into a joke. Yirah Shamayim, fear of heaven, keeping God in our forefront is a serious thing. When a person makes a joke out of anything, they can't be serious about the things in life that are really serious. That robs them of their Yirah Shamayim. That robs them of their fear of Hashem. That's number one, item number one, that is terribly counterproductive for a person's spirituality. And item number two is Azus. What's Azus? We say this on Yom Kippur when we confess, we've sinned before you with Azus. Azus is brazenness. What does it mean, brazen? So brazenness, I'm going to give you a practical example of this. It's maybe hard for some of us to identify this because we don't interact with teenagers all the time or young adults. There's a certain genre of teenagers or young adults that make a lot of noise. Wherever they go, they make noise. They're always loud and boisterous, and they're always making trouble. Why? That's called azus. What's azus? It's a brazenness. It's a lack of humility. When a person thinks that me and only me exists, and the way that they treat other people is with such chutzpah, with such gall, with such audacity, because who are you? And I am everything. That's Azus. The Mesilas Yesharim writes that these two character traits rob any Yirah Shamayim. Because if you feel that it's only you, and everything else that comes in contact with you is not important, there is no way you can have Yirah Shamayim. You could have fear of God. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Leitzanus, scoffery, mockery, making a joke out of serious things, and azus, brazenness, you know, being audacious, those things rob a person from Yirah Shamayim. And on the positive side, on the flip side, he says the exact opposite. He says, busha means shame, but not negative shame, positive shame, that brings to Yirah, that brings to fear of Hashem, to a reverence and understanding of God. And hachna, humility and subservience, those bring a person to Yirah Shamayim. That's how life works. So Azus, brazenness, and Leitzanus, scoffery, those rob a person's Yirah Shamayim, fear of God. And Busha, fear, a certain sense of shame, standing in front of God and knowing that He's watching, Dalif Nemiata Omeid, know that God is watching you, as well as Hachna'a, submission, humility, those create Yirah Shamayim. Those create fear of Hashem. Amalek is a dog. What do we mean when we say Amalek is a dog? The Gemara teaches us in Maseches Beitzah that amongst the animal, there is no animal that is more azpanim, that is more audacious. There's no animal that is more brazen than a dog. Now that's a benefit sometimes. It'll do crazy things. We see these videos of these dogs literally attacking an animal five times its size to save its master. Chutzpah, it's not even smart. But a dog has a certain brazenness. We also know that in the middle of the night, if a dog is upset, it barks and wakes up the whole neighborhood. Besides for Marty's dog, obviously. Marty's dog is good. But a dog has a certain, you know, audaciousness. Amalek is called a dog. What does it mean that they're called a dog? They are brazen. What happens? The entire Jewish nation leaves Mitzrayim, and the world knows about the incredible miracles that Hashem performs on their behalf. Splitting of the sea, 10 plagues, unbelievable stuff. No one wants to get near the Jewish people. They know that if you start with the Jewish people, you're a goner. One nation, and not even a powerful nation, audaciously says, yo, you Jews are so chashuv, let me start up with you. Rashi gives an example of this. Rashi says that there was a boiling hot tub, and no one wanted to go into it because it was too hot. Everyone was scared they'd be burned. And then one nut comes along, and he jumps into the hot tub, and he does get a little bit burned, but once he goes in, other people go in as well. Nobody has the brazenness, the audacity to go into that boiling hot bath, that boiling hot tub. Amalek is that. No one starts up with the Jewish people. They're the kelev. They're the brazenness. We just taught a Mishnah at the end of Masechah Sota. For those of you that learn Mishnah with us, it says that when Mashiach comes, in the, you know, the period of time before Mashiach, which is our generation, Pnei Hadar k'Pnei HaKelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. What does that mean? There's going to be a certain lack of humility, a certain lack of refinement, where everybody just is so brazen and so in everybody's face. And we see that in society, in certain elements at least of society. So that's Amalek's Midah number one. Number one is brazenness. And number two is late tzalus. God was a serious thing in the world by the time the Jewish people left Egypt. It was a thing the Jewish God, even Paro, the greatest of haters, took it seriously. Amalek makes the fun out of it. The Gemara speaks how they made all kinds of stupid things, and you made fun of the Jewish people having a bris milah and other types of things. They just made a serious, real situation into a situation that was nothing. That's the character trait of Amalek. So even when the physical nation of Amalek begins to slowly but surely fade away, and we don't know today, I've never met a guy, he's like, hey, my name is Steven, I'm from Amalek. Yeah, all right, come here for a second. Boom, cut his head off. There's no such thing. But Amalek still exists in every generation in terms of the fiber of society. There is Amalek in our society, and there's Amalek within us. What's brazenness? So if you take a look on Yom Kippur, when we confess for being brazen, what it means is refusing to see God's hand in our life. In other words, if I run the world, I am the success. Hashem is not my success. So within each and every one of us, and particularly in a collective, you know, Jewish community, there's so many people that think they're in the driver's seat. That's Amalek. And there's a commandment, there's a requirement to get rid of that. There's also a commandment and a requirement to get rid of late tzalus, of scoffery, of people who make light of serious situations. Often it's not even malicious. Sometimes people don't know how to deal with a serious situation. I could tell you this as a rabbi. Sometimes when there's tragedy, people say the stupidest things. They make a joke out of the most serious things. Why? Because they don't know how to deal with it. They just can't equate the situation. So they make a joke out of it. But A, in society, and B, within each and every one of us, is a certain concept or idea where when we can't deal with something serious, we make fun of it. That's Amalek within us, and that's Amalek within the world that we have. And that's an obligation, as the Torah teaches us, to erase and eradicate Amalek midor dor. In every single generation, we need to get rid of Amalek. What does that mean, we need to get rid of them? We need to find that concept, that idea of Amalek, that brazenness, that making a serious situation into something light, and we need to eradicate that. And until we do that, we will not be complete. The Gemara teaches us that bechal yom v'yom, every single day of our life, yitzro shel adam miskaber lav, our yetzer hara, our evil inclination, has the power to overpower us. We're really powerless in the face of our yetzer hara. The ilmalei hakadosh baruch hu ozro, and if not for the fact that the Almighty helps us overcome the yetzer hara, the Yetzirah would defeat us. We would be finished. So we have Amalek in our lives every single day. If we put in effort, we can defeat him. Then Hashem helps us. If we don't put in the effort, we lose to Amalek. I mean, I've said this, I think, in one of our shiurim at some point, but when I was a kid, I was 11 or 12 years old, I had a swollen eardrum, and I was in excruciating pain. So my mom took me to the ENT, who was a wonderful ENT, a very well-known ENT, and he began to examine my ear. Now, when he even put the scope in my ear. I winced and grimaced in the greatest of pain. And my little brother was there, and he was watching this, and he was laughing his heart out. So I remember turning to my brother, so hurt, and I said, I'm in such pain. I'm in such agony. How can you laugh at me? How can you do this? How could you laugh at me? And I'll never forget this. The doctor turns to me and he says to me, young man, you just learned something so important about society. It's called comedy. Comedy means laughing at somebody else's pain. That's the definition of comedy. And he says, you'll see when you get older that the best comedians are the ones that are able to put down and hone in on the greatest shortcoming of somebody else. The area that they're struggling with the most, that's where they take them down. They roast them. I think that's the terminology. They roast them. So that's Leitzanus. That's Leitzanus. And it's part of our society. And it's a fabric of ourselves. And the Torah teaches us, you should know, it's almost impossible to get rid of it. It's almost impossible to say Hashem runs the world 100%. That brazenness is in us. But Hashem mandates us. And he says, put in the effort, and I will make sure that you're able to do it totally. Now let's get back to the questions and show how every single question is answered so beautifully. God doesn't fight our fight. The fight of Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem said, you guys stay here, I got you. That was a fight, a physical fight. We needed to get rid of Mitzrayim and we need to get rid of the Egyptians forever. Amalek is not a fight that God fights. It's our fight. That's free will. It's a conflict. It's an ordeal that builds the person we have to come. Says Hashem, no, I'm pulling back. You have to do this. Who does Moshe Rabbeinu send as a messenger of the Jewish people? Who is the general in the army? It's Yehoshua. Who does Yehoshua choose? The pasuk says, Bechar lanu anashim. Select anashim. Says Rashi, what are anashim? Tzadikim. People who have good character. Refined people. Torah scholars. Yehoshua, we know, is an incredibly humble person. Right? He always is in the shadows of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says by Yehoshua that he was a nar. He was secondary to Moshe Rabbeinu. He never took any credit. He was always in the shadows. That's Yehoshua. So of course he's the person that could overcome Amalek. Yehoshua is literally the person that studies Torah. He's the next link in the chain of Torah. What does Torah do if a person really understands Torah? It brings humility. They understand Hashem's wisdom, and they understand how limited a human being's wisdom is. He has to go. He has to take people, and they could defeat Amalek, this brazen, mocking nation. Says Hashem to Moshe, tell Yehoshua to go. Yehoshua, the humble person, have him take select people who are the antithesis of Amalek, then maybe you could be victorious against them. That's why, by the way, Parsha Zachar, that we're going to read this Shabbos, the mandate to eradicate Amalek is in Lashon Yachid. It's in the individual. It's in singular. You, says Hashem, not the Jewish people. It's a commandment on every man, woman, and child to eradicate Amalek from their own character, from their own life. And that's why it calls it Milchama Lashem B'Amalek. Amalek is fighting God, which means to say their whole point in life is to take away Hashem. That's what brazenness is. Their whole point in life is to take the seriousness of Hashem in our lives and make a mockery out of it. That, says the pasuk, is milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midar dar. It's Amalek fighting God from generation to generation. And that's why we couldn't eradicate them. Yehoshua was not allowed to finish them off at that point. He got rid of the stronger ones. The ones that the Yetzirah, that's so powerful and impossible to overcome, quote unquote, Yehoshua is able to get rid of. But he needs to leave something there so we can build our character. That's our struggle. That's our ordeal. When there's friction, that's how we build muscle. That's how we build our spiritual muscle. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu calls this place Hashem Nisi. God is my miracle. Which means to say, in my daily struggles, I do not have the physical internal strength to overcome. Like we said in the Gemara. If not for the fact that Hashem would help us, we would never be able to overcome our Yetzirah. Yet at this place, we are victorious over Amalek. I understand that Hashem Nisi, God is the one that brings my miracles. And the miracle that a human being could overcome their Yetzirah, overcome the inner Amalek, that's something we never want to forget, calls Moshe Rabbeinu the place Hashem Nisi. The great Mashgiach of Panovich, Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, used to say that the first step to eradicating Amalek is not changing our character. That's very difficult. A, it's identifying the flaw of Amalek in us, and it's creating an animosity to that way of life. We need to sensitize ourselves that when we see a serious situation and someone is taking it down, someone is saying, wah, 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 that we're able to, it should bother us. Now, of course, I'm going to be frank and honest, it didn't bother me in the moment when it happened. Whatever, I was too busy speaking. And even later, it didn't bother me. This is not a therapy session. It's not catharsis that I'm saying this. It's just an idea or a concept. It needs to bother us. When you see someone taking something holy, something special, and making a joke out of it, it has to bother us. If there's no other way to look at it. And the same thing also is when it comes to brazenness. When we see a human being that's arrogant, that they're pushing Hashem out of their life, we have to not hate the person. We have to hate the character. That has to the character trait. That has to bother us. Then we could try to eradicate it. Then we have a possibility within ourselves to overcome it. And I want to conclude with a beautiful, beautiful thing. Every Shabbos, before Rosh Chodesh, we say Rosh Chodesh Benchi. We say Birkas HaChodesh. Now, if you look carefully in Birkas HaChodesh, we say one word 11 times. That's the word Chaim, life. We say, Hashem, please give us Chaim Sheyesh Bahem, Aisher V'Chavad, a life with wealth and with honor, with self-respect. Chaim, Chaim, Chaim. Why do we say Chaim 11 times, life 11 times? Because there's 11 times in the year that we say Rosh Chodesh Benching. We don't do Birkas HaChodesh before Rosh Hashanah, right? There's no Rosh Chodesh. So it's 11 times Chaim, Chaim, Chaim. Now, the first Chaim that we start with is the first time that we do Birkas HaChodesh. That's the month of Cheshvan, correct? We don't do it for the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. We do it for the month of Cheshvan. So if you look carefully and you calculate, every time we ask Hashem for Chaim for something, that month, it's connected to the Jewish calendar. You'll look at it on your own, you'll see this is a brilliant, beautiful thing. So what, where do we find something? Where do we find this? 1 second, guys, the lights went off. I want to turn it back on. So where do we find this that relates to us? That's the month of Iyar. If you take a look at the month of Iyar, the month after Pesach, in that month we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us Chayim, a life, Sheyesh Bahem Yiras Shamayim, the Yiras Chet, that there's fear of heaven and there's fear of sin. What does that have to do with the month of Iyar? So listen to how beautiful. When did the Jewish people wage war against Amalek? It was in the month of Iyar. Look in the Torah. The Torah says when it happened. The month of Iyar is the time when we had to fight Amalek. What did we have to fight in Amalek? Two bad character traits. Leitzanos, mockery and scoffery, and Azus, brazenness and audaciousness. Those are the two things we had to fight. How do we fight it? So we ask Hashem, Chaim Sheish Bem Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven, Ve'yiras Chet, and fear of sin. We want Yiras Shamayim, and we know that the antidote to living your life in a scoffery, to not being serious, to being brazen, is Yiras Shamayim. So comes the month of Iyar, the time that we needed to defeat Amalek, and we were victorious, and we ask Hashem for a double Yiras Shamayim, two doses of fear of reverence of Hashem. What? Yiras Shamayim Ve'yiras Chet. So we're able to overcome the times in life where people are making a serious situation not serious, and we're able to overcome brazenness and realize that Hashem runs the world and not us. That's what we do when it comes to the month. That's what the month of Iyar we ask Hashem for. But let's just to bring make things practical. We're coming up on Parsha Zachar, which is this Shabbos. It's the only Torah reading that's biblical. Even if a person doesn't go to shul at all whatsoever, this week they should go. Obviously, if you're able to go, I'm not telling you should go if you're not able to go. But if you're able to go and it's safe and healthy for you, you should go. Why? Because it's a reminder to us publicly, to men, women, men and women, because the mitzvah of Parshas Zachar is for men and women. It's a reminder to each and every one of us that we need to eradicate Amalek. We need to make sure that we're able to overcome this concept, this idea that we run the world. And that when we try to get serious, we can't get serious. We need to overcome that. And the byproduct of that is Yiras Shamayim, is a connection to Hashem. And the result of Yiras Shamayim is Simcha. Is happiness. That's why Parsha Zachar always precedes Purim. If you could get that stuff out of the way, you realize Hashem runs the world, you don't stress. When you realize that in life, you have to look yourself in the mirror and you have to understand, this is who I am, my real me. This is who Hashem is. When a person does that, all of a sudden, the byproduct of that is Simcha, which is Purim, which is the happiest day of the year. So Hashem should help us that this Shabbos, Parsha Zachar, we should be able to take this to heart. We should be able to get rid of, erase the Amalek that's inside of ourselves, inside of our community. And in Mitzvah Shem, when Purim comes, we'll be able to get the true byproduct, which is tremendous simcha and inner happiness. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. And my apologies again for some of the technical difficulties. Look forward to Mitzvah Shem to learning this coming Tuesday.